Support for Speaking of Travel comes from Asheville Regional Airport, Western North Carolina's gateway to the world. Your safety when traveling to and from Asheville is and always will be our top priority. Visit flyavl.com for all your current travel information. Prestige Subaru, offering a variety of new and pre-owned all-wheel drive Subarus built with the zero landfill promise. All waste is recycled or reused, with more at PrestigeSubaru.com. RomanticAsheville.com. Create your perfect vacation in the land of the sky with the region's most popular online travel guide. Plan your next getaway to Asheville and the North Carolina Blue Ridge Mountains by visiting RomanticAsheville.com. Realtor Janet Oppenheimer with Nest Realty. Janet is a seller and buyer agent and a specialized senior real estate specialist serving the Asheville, North Carolina area. Visit NestRealty.com and look for your trusted mountain community advisor, Janet Oppenheimer. Asheville Farms. Unlock the potential CBD has in your life with Western North Carolina's premier supplier of high-quality hemp and CBD products. Visit their store location at 1 Page Street, Suite 124 in Asheville's beautiful Grove Arcade and by visiting avlhempfarms.com. And by Leaf Global Arts. Leaf Global Arts connects cultures and creates community through music, arts education, and experiences. Drop by the Leaf Global Arts Experience in downtown Asheville year-round and come to the Leaf Global Arts Retreat each May and Leaf Global Arts Festival each October. To learn more, visit theleaf.org. Welcome to Speaking of Travel with Marilyn Ball. Sit back and be carried away to places around the world and right here in our own backyard. No passport required. Roam if you want to. Roam
around the world. Roam. Hi, this is Marilyn Ball. Welcome to Speaking of Travel right here on iHeartRadio 570 WWNC. And remember, you can always listen to this episode of Speaking of Travel or any past episode with a simple click on the Speaking of Travel website. That's speakingoftravel.net, and on all your favorite global podcast platforms. And be sure when you visit speakingoftravel.net to sign up for the Travel Club. You'll receive travel news, helpful tips, and links to stories from people who can make your gardening dreams come true. Well, I can tell you, when spring and summer arrives, I am ready to get my hands dirty. For me, gardening became my very favorite pastime at a very young age when I moved to the Western North Carolina mountains as a homesteader. It was here that I began my love affair with gardening and found that being in gardens really takes me away into a totally different world where flower buds are unfurling into flowers and bees are buzzing on those very flowers. My attention moves away from my own concerns into a world of nature. Well, my guests today are gardeners extraordinaire. Margaret Roach and Ken Drews have long histories as gardeners and writers, and today offer up online courses on many aspects of gardening called the Virtual Garden Club, where they provide advice, encouragement, and camaraderie, and answers to your burning gardening questions. Margaret Roach is a longtime garden writer. Ken is a celebrated lecturer, an award-winning writer, a photographer, and I am just so thrilled to have you both here on Speaking of Travel.
Very nice introduction. You said it.
Well, I am in awe of what you're doing. I'm a big gardener. I love to get my hands dirty, like I said, and I'm excited that you are providing something here that we can all get involved with. So, Ken, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and you and Margaret are kind of connecting and moving into this together.
Well, I have written 20 books on gardening, and about 10 of them are big illustrated books, and they've won lots of awards. And I've written for almost every magazine publication, Shelter magazine publication, and I wrote for the New York Times for about 4 years. And after I did one of my books, I think it might have been the second book, about 30 years ago, I met Margaret because she interviewed me for Newsday, a newspaper in this area New York and Long Island, and we just had so much in common. We've been friends ever since.
That's the truth. And traveled all around and seen lots of gardens together over the years, right, Ken?
Yeah, we did one book together called The Natural Habitat Garden, which was native plant gardens across the country. And we traveled across the country.
And it was way before native plants, which are kind of the hot thing in recent years, as you know, the climate changes and ecological matters come into focus for so many people. This was, you know, 30 years before that consciousness. So it got us ready for today. Those trips decades ago got us ready for today, learning about native plants. So, yeah.
Well, we never stopped being interested in them. And Margaret also has more sun than I do, and she is an avid food grower. And I have a couple of raised beds in front of the house because I'm in a valley, because the garden is an island in a river. So we're pretty low, even though we're 500 feet above sea level, we're in the shade a lot. So I can't grow a lot of vegetables, but in this one spot by the mailbox on the road next to the driveway, I've been growing tomatoes and a few other things with success.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how things have changed. You were out on the road 30 years ago. You were finding these native plants. Let's kind of move us up the timeline on how things started to unfold for both of you as far as your careers and your own camaraderie of working together.
When I think about the past, the recent past, and the pandemic, it's like 3 years never happened. So I think it was yesterday, but it was probably not yesterday. And since we couldn't travel as much as we used to and wanted to, we decided to, Margaret really got this thing going. We were pressured into starting the Virtual Garden Club, and it's been a huge success. We've had probably 1,000 people. A lot of them are repeat people. They come and they take the 4 or 5 sessions of a course, and then a little bit later, I mean, do we about 3 or 4 a year? Margaret?
3 semesters a year, yeah. And a lot of students come every semester, and then some come, you know, once or twice. But a lot have been with us since the beginning, 2.5 or so years ago. But yeah. All along, I've been a garden journalist in one way or another. And in recent years, I've sort of gone back to some of my earlier work, which is writing. I write the New York Times garden column I'm just beginning the 5th season in a row of doing that, something Ken, as he said, did a while back. And, you know, so I've done a podcast for 15 years, weekly podcast on gardening. So knowing the topics, it's kind of like when you have a community of readers or listeners, you kind of know from the data you get from those, you know, electronic forms of journalism, you kind of know what resonates with people. And so I knew that we could make a curriculum for something like this and provide a service, you know, and it's fun. And it teaches us a lot too, which is the great part. You know, Ken and I love to keep on learning. So,
and I do a lot of photographs for it and videos. And the session that we're doing now has tomato growing problems, which everybody has, and designing the ground covers and container plantings. And we're doing taking cuttings of favorite shrubs, dealing with weeds, native plants as always, and compost 2.0. Is that what we're going to call it, Margaret?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody gets frustrated with their compost and thinks they're doing something wrong. But, you know, hopefully we'll give people a little confidence in that matter, which is such an important matter, because obviously supporting the soil and not creating garbage, but recycling, you know, into this sustenance, you know, for the soil is really at the foundation of gardening. So that's an important segment that we'll be doing one of the classes.
What do you have, like a 500-foot long compost heap?
Not quite long, not quite that. It's about 40 feet long and about 8 feet wide. And it right now, with all the incoming stuff from cleanup in spring beginning, it's about 8 feet high as well. It's big. It's big.
Well, so. I am proud to say that I have a very robust compost myself, and have been able to watch it for decades just change and be so useful. So tell us how people can find out more about the virtual gardening program that you're doing. And then when we come back, I want to talk more about what we can learn, how we can sign up, all of that. And also, I want to really get into a little bit more about, like, let's dig in, if you will, into some of the segments that you do through this program.
Sure. The basic page that explains the club is on my website, awaytogarden.com, and it's just awaytogarden.com to make it fairly easy. And that's a good place to start.
Sorry. That is. And when you talk about being a class and a semester, really anybody can sign up for this, right?
Yes, absolutely. And when we say a semester, it's like we have three of them a year, and each is either four or five sessions spaced 2 weeks apart. They're an hour and a half or so long. And we have a Facebook community in between for people to communicate and ask each other questions and help each other. We take advanced questions from people before each class. So there's a lot of, you know, people need help sorting out a problem or a design or something like that. And we work on that. So it's kind of, you know, there's a little bit of a community aspect to it, too. So, yeah. And it's usually four or five sessions each semester.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. I know so many people who just, you know, sometimes gardening can be a little solitary. You're in your garden, you're working, you're by yourself. It's nice to be able to be a part of something bigger and then be able to learn and take it and apply it as well. Well, this is Marilyn Ball. You're listening to Speaking of Travel. I'm here with Margaret Roach and Ken Drews. They are gardeners and writers, and they're offering up some online courses that you're probably going to want to get involved with because gardening is for everybody. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Traveling to new places is good for everybody, but sometimes travel can be challenging. The good news is there are beneficial products available to help you relax and focus so your journey is stress-free and enjoyable. Unlock the potential CBD has in your life with Western North Carolina's premier supplier of high-quality hemp and CBD products. Go visit Asheville Hemp Farms at their new location at 1 Page Avenue, Suite 124 in the beautiful Grove Arcade in Asheville, North Carolina, and by visiting avlhempfarms.com.
Why not make the most of the beautiful spring season and plan your next vacation or staycation to Asheville and the North Carolina Blue Ridge Mountains? Create your perfect spring adventure in the land of the sky with the region's most popular online travel guide. Not just for couples, RomanticAsheville.com is an online guide covering a nearly 100-mile radius around Asheville, North Carolina. There are so many special places and awe-inspiring vistas around nearly every corner, and this is the perfect time to create safe and memorable adventures across Western North Carolina. Visit RomanticAsheville.com today.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
Welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball, and I'm here today with Margaret Roach and Ken Drews, and we're talking about gardening and the virtual garden club that they provide some advice and encouragement and bringing people together. It's really, really great. Margaret, why don't you navigate us a little bit through this program and how people can sign up and kind of what the flow is, if you will.
So it's like a subscription program, and people sign up for a semester. We do semesters, three semesters a year typically, and each one is four or five sessions spaced a couple of weeks apart. And I guess mostly people sign up by just going to awaytogarden.com, my website, awaytogarden.com/club, and, you know, reading about what the offerings of the given semester that's coming up are, and deciding whether that sounds like it's for them. And there's other features as well besides the live classes, which are also, of course, recorded for, you know, listening at your own leisure if the time of day isn't you know, good for you, that they're on live. You know, there's also a library of recorded lectures that Ken and I prepared from some of our books and things like that. So there's sort of a resource library of other educational and entertaining videos in there and so forth in the member dashboard. So there's other resources, and there's a, as we were saying before the break, a Facebook group that people engage with one another and with us as well to get more help. And so we basically do various segments each class, a range of segments, a diversity of topics that are timely. And
sometimes we have guests visit us too on specific topics, especially native plants.
Yeah, because that's such an important topic and there's so much expertise required. It's so regionally specific and it's a complex area, newer area that fewer gardeners know about. So we've had some really stellar guest experts come and do a talk at one of the sessions each semester. So yeah, so there's a lot going on and we think it's fun and, people seem to enjoy it. I mean, again, we have a lot of repeat members, people who have been with us, three, four, five different semesters or whatever, some who have been with us all the semesters. So that's good. And we try to keep it topical and timely. And I think what we really do the best, I don't know, Ken, if this is how you'd put it, but is that we try to like curate or distill the information. You know, subjects are big, even composting, which we talked about for a minute before, it's a big subject, but there's a couple of main tips that if you follow those, and we distill it down to those, if you follow those, you can do well with it. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to like 500 page book on composting, which is too much and too exhausting, too epic to be helpful. So we try to distill things down or sort of curate things for people. And I think that's part of what the club is about.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are frightened or afraid to even do it. And especially compost is a great example. It's too hard. It's too complex. I don't get it. And I mean, some people buy units and put all their clippings and everything in tumblers. And Margaret has an open, what do you call it when you have an open?
Windrow, W-I-N-D-R-O-W. Like on a farm, they use a windrow, an open pile system. Yeah,
the open pile, right. So how hard is that? You just put the new stuff at one end and take the finished stuff from the other end. Really, it makes it much less scary.
It is. And I think the key, and again, there's a couple of key things that whether you have a tumbler that you paid $200 for or a wire bin that you built out of a roll of hardware cloth or my open pile, what you can do right is what you must do right is you must mix up the ingredients. You can't have all a huge amount of one thing, like if you had lawn clippings in the old days when you were mowing your lawn all the time and you dumped them all, it's just going to be a nasty, slimy mess and it's not going to make compost. It's going to make a stench, a slippery stench. The mixing it up, as we say, the greens and the browns, mixing up high nitrogen and high carbon containing materials. So to keep those kinds of ideas in mind and to also think of it as at the damp sponge stage at any time, not dripping wet, like a sponge could be, but when you've squeezed it out and it's just moist, that's the moisture you need in your compost pile, whatever format the pile is in, whatever container is enclosing it, for the activity of decomposition to be happening. And you also need air. So those are like three key things, and I'm completely simplifying right now for the benefit of time. but well, really, without those in mind, it doesn't work. But you don't need to know much more.
Because yeah. I find when I talk to people and tell them not to take the twigs out, all the twigs, but to leave some of those twigs to make oxygen spaces, that's where, just like you were saying with the slimy mess, that's where a lot of people kind of don't get it.
Right.
It's good to have some twigs.
So again, we try from our combined experience, and Ken and I are very different gardeners. I mean, he mentioned before I grow some edibles more than he does, and I do canning and preserving and all those kinds of things, and he has much more expertise in propagation. He's grown trees from seed and, has done cuttings of everything and is very, a very adventurous seed starter, including of, again, like trees and shrubs and perennials. And so we have complementary, differing expertise. So one of us is going to have a line on almost anything, and that allows us to kind of, again, curate and bounce off each other and hopefully give the members a good spin on each thing, a good, again, distilled version of each subject. That's going to be the most helpful.
I didn't say I was a crazy collector.
Well, I tried to leave that part out, but now that you've confessed. Marilyn, he's a crazy collector.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the way that you've described the composting and the foundation. I take it that you are really believers in organic gardening, right?
I've always been an organic gardener for, 30-something years, so I didn't ever know any other way.
It's funny, we take it for granted.
Yeah, because we both came at it as, I came at it as sort of, I'm into like canning and preserving and, more of a hippie-ish kind of, those, my earliest books were a little bit hippie-ish. So I've never known any other way. Just like with the native plants, we've known about them and loved them for a long time. So, yeah.
So you bring in the insects, you make your gardens just all inclusive and everybody's welcome, and then the end product is beautiful vegetables and beautiful flowers, and you're here to kind of guide us on that journey. That's really really a wonderful way to bring people into, like you were saying about even composting. Sometimes people are like, oh, I can't garden, it's too much, I'll just go to the grocery store, go to the market. So tell us again how people can get involved, to get signed up, to be a part of this program, and even be a part of the community.
Well, the Virtual Garden Club is described best on my website. It's at awaytogarden.com/club. And I think if people read that page, they'll kind of know what the offering is, what the concept is. The current semester is beginning March 28th, and then, but a lot of, it's funny, a lot of people join just afterward, because again, everything's recorded, and some people like to just watch passively at their own leisure, so the whole thing is in there for them to watch whenever they want. So probably half the students attend remotely, so to speak, at their convenience, not live. So some people just buy it for the, subscribe for using it that way.
And we illustrate everything we talk about. So we have a picture for everything, and often videos, as I said before. But I thought it was really important. If we're talking about something, you want to see it.
Yeah, and we tell a lot of bad jokes because we've known each other a long time, and we tease each other relentlessly. And that's not, we don't charge extra for that.
No,
it's all inclusive. That sounds
exactly.
It sounds wonderful. And I just want to get in before we leave, is I want to talk just a brief minute about public gardens, because we're talking about your personal gardens, but let's put in a little plug for public gardens, because I always like to encourage people to go out.
There's, I was no thinking better, about that because of your show, speaking of travel, I think anybody who is going anywhere, check for a public garden in that place, and that, because there's at least one in every state, and you can go to a public garden and then learn if it has the same climate as you do. You can see plant combinations. Sometimes there's food gardens. I mean, you said that, and I'm thinking, oh, the Denver Botanical Garden. Oh, that has the best rock garden in the world. In San Francisco, there's like five gardens, and New York City is one of the garden centers of America, and people don't think, but we have lots of gorgeous gardens to visit.
Well, we do have something in common with Frederick Law Olmsted designing Central Park, and he also designed our beautiful Biltmore Gardens here at the Biltmore Estate.
Our
connections are deeper than we even know. Well, I want to thank you both for being here on Speaking of Travel, and I think we can all agree that one show just isn't going to be enough. There's a lot we can learn from both of you on gardening and so much more. So I hope you'll come back to Speaking of Travel and fill us in as the season goes on, and we can talk more about the tomatoes and the composting and all of the insects and how we can keep our yards open for birds and everybody else. So thank you both. Thank you, Margaret and Ken, for being here on Speaking of Travel. And tell us again how we can get all signed up.
It's awaytogarden.com on my website, awaytogarden.com. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you both. I'm looking forward to getting out of my garden as soon as the rain stops. And in the meantime, watching things grow just all by themselves. It's really so much fun. Well, coming up next on Speaking of Travel is Mark Collins. He's the partnership manager for RomanticAsheville.com. And, you know, RomanticAsheville.com is more than just a trusted resource and insider's guide to Asheville and Western North Carolina. Their members are really uplifting examples of how to grow stronger as a community and help to foster inspiration to grow as good citizens of this planet Earth. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether you're traveling to points near or far or traveling on a life journey, every transition is an opportunity regardless of your stage of life. If you, a family member, or a loved one is looking to downsize, retire, or buy or sell a home, contact your trusted Mountain Community Advisor, Janet Oppenheimer, from Nest Realty in Asheville. As a senior real estate specialist, Janet will help and guide you through any life transition one step at a time. Contact Janet at nestrealty.com today, helping you find that perfect home to fit your next journey. Nest Realty.
Spring has finally sprung, and with our backyard in full bloom, now is the time to get out and find adventure wherever it may lead. From the mountains to the rivers and all the turf in between, we are no less than blessed with our beautiful backyard right here in Western North Carolina. There's a will, there's a way, and for the way, we have the wheels to take you wherever you wish to wander. Adventure is waiting, and the choice is yours. Find your adventure vehicle at PrestigeSubaru.com. Prestige Subaru, 585 Tunnel Road in Asheville. And welcome to Subieville.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
Welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball. Well, I can tell you, I'm really looking forward to getting back out in my garden. You really talk about being in your happy place. And Margaret and Ken show how partnerships can create new opportunities by providing access to resources and information. And they embrace that continuous learning while even learning new things themselves. You know, if we look 10 years down the road, we'll see the most successful business models will be built of successful partnerships. And if you look back 10 years or more, you'll discover the trendsetters for this idea. So I wanted to share how putting together partnerships, and more importantly, keeping them going, is the unique approach to building long-term business relationships, and it's all happening at RomanticAsheville.com. My guest is Mark Collins, Partnerships Manager for RomanticAsheville.com, and, you know, RomanticAsheville.com builds these strategic partnerships, and they combine responsibility, sustainability, and safety into one coherent voice to help foster conservation and inspiration for growing stronger as a community and for being good people. And Mark, I can't thank you enough for coming back and catching us up on all things Romantic Asheville.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's such a treat to be on this show. It's good to hear your lovely voice, and I love nothing better than to talk about partnerships. So I am excited.
Well, I can tell you, Mark, I've known about RomanticAsheville.com for a long time, and I remember that the original concept and mission, even upon that inception so many years ago, predating Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and just about all other forms of social and electronic online media, this was really to connect like-minded people together and share this desire to explore and discover this part of the world. Give us an idea of how you think that continues to this day.
RomanticAsheville.com was founded by Mark File 21 years ago, and you stole a little bit of my thunder in speaking about predating Facebook and all other sorts of social media outlets. It's exciting to me that we actually have been in the game that long. And you don't stay in the game that long if you don't look at the market and you don't look at trends and you don't look at what's happening around you and what your partners are needing and what your readers are needing as well. So our focus has always been to provide the most up-to-date curated content available regarding traveling to Western North Carolina. And knowing that, that's still our mission, that's our primary mission. And in doing so, we work constantly and passionately ensuring the website is up to date. Well, we rely on our readers and our partners to relay information that is pertinent and current, and we move forward. And in moving forward, we help move our partners forward too. We want to elevate the small businesses and the large businesses here in Western North Carolina that are based in hospitality, based in the culture, based in the arts of what makes up Western North Carolina.
So give us, like, navigate us a little bit, Mark, through romanticasheville.com and what a visitor would find when they entered into the resource and the tools that you have to offer.
When a reader finds romanticasheville.com, it's usually because they're searching for a specific term, and whether that is lodging in Asheville or restaurants in Western North Carolina or the arts scene or hiking, waterfalls, any of the myriad of things that make up the tapestry of what we call home, Western North Carolina, because we've been around for so long, we are loved by Google and we are one of the very top hits when anyone were to use any of those search terms. It's also very interesting. Our goal is to get people off our website and onto our partner's website as quickly as possible. It's very interesting to me. So many people don't even realize they were on our website. They found what they wanted. They booked a restaurant. They booked a hotel. They bought concert tickets, or they made arrangements to go to an art gallery or hiking or whatever, never even knowing that they found all that info on our website. It's a very, very, very cool thing. And with Google Analytics or analytics in general, it's exciting to me to see how much traffic we drive to any one individual partner.
And give us a little idea of who these partners are you talk about.
I'll do it in kind of in tiers. All of our partners are equally important. And one of the goals of our website is equity. So just as I'm mentioning partners, there's no particular order and I'm not putting anyone, you know, at the forefront. They're all equal in my eyes. But what we have on our website is a number of partners in any given category, whether it be lodging, and lodging would be broken down to hotels, cabins, home rentals, glamping, B&Bs. Then they're further broken down by area or convenience, whether they're located close to the airport, close to the Biltmore House, whether they have a view. Then we have restaurants, and the restaurants are broken down by food categories. And that could be Indian or Italian or Southern or any of the amazing amount of culinary delights that make up Western North Carolina. The Biltmore has their own page, so anything you need to know about the Biltmore is there. Our art museum, we're huge sponsors of the North Carolina Arboretum, which is very near and dear to all of our hearts and kind of ties into what you were speaking about a little earlier about gardening. And the Arboretum is kind of my safe place. So that gives you just a little bit of an insight. If you're planning a wedding, romanticasheville.com, go to the wedding page. So, and that and so much more.
Well, I want to find out so much more, Mark, and really, I don't know, dive a little bit deeper, if you will, on, you know, I like to find out about organizations, especially tourism-related organizations that have become trusted sources, and it's through their history and their longevity and their performance. And certainly Romantic Asheville checks off all of those boxes. So when we come back, let's talk more about what is going on there at romanticasheville.com and things that we can learn and use as we move forward. This is Marilyn Ball. You're listening to Speaking of Travel. I'm here today with Mark Collins, and Mark is the partnerships manager for romanticasheville.com, and we're going to find out more and how we can get involved too, and that's romanticasheville.com. We'll be right back.
This is Tina Kinsey with Asheville Regional Airport, and I have a travel tip for you today. Remember that summer is a very busy travel time, and you should plan accordingly. This means that with air travel, be sure to reserve enough time for the unexpected. When you arrive at the airport, you may not be able to find a parking spot as close to the terminal as you anticipated. Avoid the frustration and anxiety that can come from feeling rushed to find parking. Be aware that lines will most likely be longer than you expect, both at the ticket counter and at the TSA checkpoint. And again, plan for enough time. Remember that if you have checked in for your flight online or on the airline's mobile app, and if you are not checking a bag, you can bypass the ticket counter check-in and head straight to security screening. Just make sure you have your ID and boarding pass ready. A little extra time can transform a travel experience from frustrating to smooth and easy. For more travel tips, visit our frequently asked questions on our website at flyavl.com. This has been Tina Kinsey with Asheville Regional Airport. Take the easy way out.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
Welcome back to Speaking of Travel. I'm your host, Marilyn Ball. And today we're talking to Mark Collins. He's the partnerships manager for RomanticAsheville.com. And RomanticAsheville.com has been around for a long time. And like I was saying, they have a history of really being considered a very trusted resource. And Mark, I want to kind of give you and your team a shout out for that longevity and for that commitment to assuring that what you're putting out there is accurate and needed, like you said when you were talking about your members. Give us a little bit of an idea of how you can optimize what your partners have to bring to the table to what you can deliver to the people who are reading RomanticAsheville.com.
Our mission at RomanticAsheville.com is to serve as a trusted resource for insider information and tips on Western North Carolina for visitors and locals. We highlight and promote area destinations, attractions, and resources to celebrate and preserve the region's natural and cultural beauty. And we do that by partnering with those very folks that it is their passion to promote the beauty of Western North Carolina, to promote Western North Carolina as a travel destination. And it's interesting, so often people would think that RomanticAsheville.com would actually be in competition with many of our partners. And it's so not true. It's exactly the opposite. Many hands make light work, for sure. The goal is to preserve and protect and share the natural wonder of Western North Carolina.
And there is so much to see and do here. And really what you do over there is kind of like you were saying, you kind of take us behind the scenes of what's going on. And then people can see, wow, there is so much to see and do. And I have to say, because there is so much to see and do, that you are really constantly on top of things, current and appropriate for the seasons. And how do y'all do all of that? It's like you have little elves working over there overtime, just getting the information.
We do have elves. The elves are extraordinary. Marilyn, This is all teamwork. We promote partnerships, and the only way we can do it, the only way we can do it successfully is by partnering within the team ourselves. And we have this extraordinary team of a wonderful editor, a wonderful team of social media folks. We're all headed by Justin Bellamy, our extraordinary publisher, who has the vision to keep us moving forward as social media changes literally day to day. It is so important that we be able to turn on a dime. People rely and have come to rely on Romantic Asheville for 21 years now because we do keep our content updated. And how our editor does it, how dear Leslie Hartley pulls it all together is beyond me. I think she must have 1,000 elves working with her. She's very well connected in the community, and people feed her content changes all day long. And it's paramount that we get them up on the site so that people are never disappointed, so that people continue to consider us a trusted resource.
Well, I know that when you think back 2 decades, and we were talking earlier about no Facebook, no Instagram, no social media to really speak of, this technology of even how it began and then how it grew over all these years, and then to be where we are today in technology and how it's ever changing, says so much about the partnerships that you have going on, not only as a team, but to attract the tourism partners to you who know this is a place where I can be highlighted in the most positive way.
Interesting when you look back at the history and how romanticasheville.com all began. It really started, for lack of a better word, as kind of like a blog posting for people coming here to Western North Carolina. But it was very simple. And we now have over 800 pages that are just chock full of everything that Western North Carolina offers. And we take the promotion of that very, very seriously.
Well, I'm curious to know where's romanticasheville.com going to go from here? I mean, you do have a visionary there at the helm, and there's a lot going on out there in technology, but also even in the industry itself, Mark. So where are you getting the inspiration? Where does that kind of, I don't know, motivation, inspiration come from to take this to the next level?
That's such a great question. My inspiration, my motivation are the people that I meet at a restaurant or in a hotel lobby or on the street who are visiting Western North Carolina. They might look like they have a question. I'm that guy that will ask anyone, do you need a hand? Are you looking for something in particular? Can I help you? And I work very hard to get a QR code on my business cards, which might sound very silly because QR codes are not the newest in technology, but I have to say, people take my card, and next thing you know, they're on romanticasheville.com. And if I'm at a restaurant, and I did that at the beginning of a meal, when they're leaving the restaurant, they're like, we just planned our whole day for tomorrow. Like, because you gave us access to your website. But that doesn't really answer your question. But that is part of my inspiration. Just helping is inspiring to me. And I'm actually quite passionate about it. But there's a bigger question, too, and you were talking about a visionary. When it comes to Justin Bellamy, he thinks so deeply and so far-reaching that he keeps us on our toes with technology, and we look at further ways that we can promote. So we've been on a wonderful collecting of emails where we have over 250,000 qualified emails on our mailing list. And so our next steps will be offering newsletter mentions to our partners. And that will be going to 250,000 people who are planning travel into Western North Carolina. I think that's pretty cool, and I think that keeps us in the game.
Oh, I would definitely say that keeps you in the game, and it continues to keep your reputation just shining for people who are coming here who want to visit here. And Mark, I can't thank you enough for being on Speaking of Travel, catching us up. I'll look forward to having you back as the seasons start to change and we can keep on being current with what's going on. I really love having you on Speaking of Travel.
Thank you for having me, Marilyn. I love being a guest on your show.
All right. Well, thank you to Mark, and thanks to Margaret and Ken for being on Speaking of Travel. You know, I've talked a lot on the show about why traveling makes me happy. And I think about how the older I'm getting, the more I get to know about myself. And so I've become more deliberate in my expectations and my explorations and really do what I love to do versus not what I don't really care that much about. You know, we all have our happy place. For some, it's traveling. For others, it's gardening. Some of us are happy in those places when we're alone and capturing that sense of complete calm. So whatever makes you happy, go for it. Travel to a happy place. Sometimes it's the only thing keeping us sane. And because remember, life is short. Don't postpone joy.